As much as it pains me to say it, this review of NVIDIA's RTX 5050 is probably the most important GPU review I will do this year. Because the bottom line is that for so many of you out there, whether you're building your own PC or getting it in the pre-built your grandmother got you for your birthday, this is the GPU you're going to use. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. Everybody has their own budget. It's just that when a better graphics card could be had for the same price, or if there's a significant upgrade for a much less significant extra cost, it hurts me to see these boxes flying off the shelves instead, despite my years of tech tipping to the contrary. Which is why this time, I am entrusting everyone else to persuade you. Maybe when you hear it from the people who actually have time to play video games after work, you'll believe us when we say, stay away from this launch. Maybe they can also help me warn you about our sponsors. That was awful.
Let me start by pointing out that we're using a high-end test bench to evaluate what will likely be the most entry-level offering from NVIDIA this generation. This is done to alleviate any potential bottlenecks that may distort our results, but it's not exactly a realistic configuration. I mean, nobody is going to pair a $250 RTX 5050 with a $450 Ryzen 7800 X3D or with fast, high-capacity DDR5 memory. Or at least, they shouldn't. Realistically, if you buy this card, your performance will be at least a little bit worse than what we're going to show you today. So with that in mind, let's kick things off with gaming.
This thing blows, and by that I mean it trades blows with our RTX 4060 at 1080p. In Counter-Strike 2, the RTX 5050 is in the bottom four, beating out the two-generation-old 3060, but losing to last-gen 4060, and we see that same behavior in Red Dead Redemption 2. On the other hand, The Last of Us Part 1 at 1080p is just kind of sad. The 12GB RTX 3060 pushes the 5050 third from the bottom, probably because the 5050 only has 8GB of VRAM, whereas this game utilized over 9GB on cards that had the capacity. Sure, we're crushing the RTX 3050. There's no 4050, so that's the most recent 50-class card. That's like congratulating yourself for beating your 8-year-old baby brother in a boxing match. Sorry, little buddy. No mercy. The 5050 sometimes beats the 4060, but usually not by a lot. F124 is an extra frame in the 1% lows and 10 more in the averages, and we see a similar uplift in Cyberpunk 2077. But what's this? The 4060 wins once you enable ray tracing in both these games? Yep, the 5050 may have 24th gen RT cores, but the whole package isn't enough to keep up with the 24 third gen RT cores in the 4060. Pathetic.
If you thought 1080p was bad, well, check out 1440p. The 5050 goes from trading blows to just blowing it against the 4060. It only wins in a single game, and that's Cyberpunk. Adding insult to injury, check out how good the 3060 12GB looks by comparison across every single game we've tested. Our poor RTX 5050 is barely beating out a 60-class card from two generations ago, and in VRAM-hungry games like The Last of Us Part 1, the 5050 loses again! We'll talk more about pure value later, but even the 9060 XT and RTX 5060, despite only having 8GB of VRAM, destroy the 5050 in our gaming tests, which is pretty bad, especially when you consider that a more future-proof card like the Intel Arc B580 can now be found easily for around $260, and that comes with 12GB of VRAM. That will make it a safer bet as AAA game requirements creep up over the next few years, assuming Intel's GPU division still exists over the next few years. But hey, NVIDIA's FrameGen can make up for the 5050's poor performance, right?
Oh, hey, didn't see you there. You know, this isn't the most scientifically accurate test we've ever done, but here's some slow-motion footage of Cyberpunk running on the RTX 5050 at 1080p. The mouse moves, then the game moves 27 frames of footage later, which indicates overall system latency of 27 milliseconds. Now let's enable frame generation and crank it up to 4x, alongside DLAA. Our game is now running at around 200 FPS. Great! But notice the increased latency? It's pretty minor, and even in twitchy first-person shooters, it could be imperceptible to many. Sounds like a decent trade-off, right? But our base frame rate was already a solid 98 frames per second. Frame generation is what we in the MTG community call a win more card. It only really works well if you're already in a good situation. Here, watch what happens if we have a low starting frame rate. At 1440p, our base frame rate averages around 63 FPS. Good, but nowhere near the almost 100 we just came from. Rendering natively, we're starting with the same 36 frames of latency that we saw at 1080p with frame gen set to 4 in the previous clip. So then, what happens when we add frame gen at 1440p? You're looking at MFG 3X, where we're getting an additional 12 frames of latency, even though our total frames per second are higher. Can an average person feel it? Not necessarily, but some of you out there are going to be sensitive to it.
Let's be clear, we don't hate frame generation, and to NVIDIA's credit, they continue to improve the tech with every single generation, just like they did with DLSS. What we do hate is how NVIDIA uses these features to mislead consumers by posting unfair representations of video card performance, which is especially bad because not every game supports those features. Sure, you could use an inexpensive third-party tool like Lothless Scaling, but even with the bells and whistles, if you buy this card, you're getting fleeced. Unlike if you buy the new transparent screwdriver from LTTStore.com, it's a clear winner when it comes to nifty tools.
Let's talk price and value, starting with some of our competitors. AMD's 9060 XT 8GB, which is at the top of our 1080p geo-mean results, costs us $2.32 per frame. The B580, $2.42, is very nice. Then we get to the 5050 at $2.65. But it gets worse. The RTX 5060, which costs around $2.99, just $50 more than the 5050, beats the 5050 in value at $2.51. These aren't massive swings in value when you're looking at averages, but it still shows what a terrible deal the 5050 is. A huge part of why you get such better value with the more expensive card is that for $50 more, you're getting literally 50% more hardware. The 5060 has 50% more CUDA cores, 50% more texture processing clusters, 50% more streaming multiprocessors, 50% more Tensor cores, 50% more RT cores, 50% more texture units, and 50% more ROP units than the 5050. And while this card is on the same 128-bit bus, it's using GDDR6 instead of 7. Why? Because NVIDIA says G6 is best for desktops and the more power-efficient G7, well, that's best for laptops. Cool! So then why not put the super-efficient stuff in the one card in the desktop lineup that might actually want an extra low TDP? I don't get it. I quit. I just can't do it anymore.
Productivity. If there's anything positive to say about the 5050, it's that it blends pretty okay. Sure, it renders our barbershop scene slower than the 4060 and hardly faster than a 3060, but sub 2 minutes ain't half bad. We see similar results in Puget Bench's Premiere Pro benchmark, where our 5050 is clearly pulling ahead and only overshadowed by the 5060. The Arc B580 puts up a good fight both here and in Puget Bench's Photoshop benchmarks. But then that card gets a big fat DNF with Puget's DaVinci Resolve test, allowing NVIDIA to get a couple of blurry Ws.
Despite NVIDIA's obsession with AI, they failed to make the 5050's AI performance anything but underwhelming. In Procyon AI image generation, the 5050 is barely beating the 3060 again, and in text generation, the 5050 is nothing to write home about. See what we did there? My biggest takeaway here is how great the Arc B580 is. Look at how much it crushes even our 5060. Just look at what extra VRAM NVIDIA and proper support AMD can do. If Intel can figure it out as the new kid showing up with OpenVINO, nobody has a good excuse.
In summary, the RTX 5050 only makes sense as a product designed to make the RTX 5060 look good. And if you saw that review, you know that it does not look good. We can't in good conscience recommend the 5050. It flat out sucks. And there are so many options that we've mentioned in this video that exist, and we'll have all of those linked in the video description for you to check out. There's a saying that there are no bad products, just bad prices. And in RTX 50 series fashion, the price is bad. But you know, if nobody buys it and it gets discounted to maybe like $200, maybe then I could finally segue to our sponsor. Thanks for watching. If you like this video, go check out our 9060 XT review. The 16GB model is really the way to go, but if it's too far out of your price range, then a B580 or even an 8GB 9060 XT would be better than garbage. Just dog